So in part one of this sermon, I preached about some of the challenges that face us today in our modern era, like climate change. That's a big one. Even if we ourselves do not feel it, other people do. People in power who are making decisions that impact us, and people in our day-to-day lives. We don't always notice the ways in which pressures filter their way down, but I wonder sometimes if people are a little more on edge these days, making it harder to connect with each other, harder to keep our aspirational commitments to ourselves, or harder even to just figure out what those should be. And while the tensions in our modern world may be pressing on us and making hard things harder, hard things are not new, of course. As I alluded to in part one, the roots of our modern difficulties have been with us for a long time. This culture that divides us by lifting up individual success over common good, that keeps pointing us toward material things as the answers to our problems, that lifts up strident voices selling easy answers to complicated questions, all of which distracts and confuses us, and is noise that tends to leave us cut off, as Reverend Scott Taylor has put it, from each other, from the wisdom of our deepest self, and from the bounty of life's natural gifts. In fact, many of us come to spiritual communities such as this one for the primary purpose of healing those connections, to find people who care about each other and the worlds, to carve out space and time to listen to our own voice, and to rediscover all the good this world has for us that is too often hidden from our sight. Taylor calls them lifelines, these three ways of reconnecting to self, to others, and to the gifts of life that are available to all. So that sounds good, right? Reconnecting where we've been cut off, finding new meaning in our relationships with each other and ourselves, enjoying life in fresh new ways. These are great things. And the big question remains, how do you do that exactly? Though I would like to say there is a simple one-size-fits-all formula, I don't think there is. Part of the beauty of our journey is that we get to discover and keep discovering what heals us and moves us and reconnects us with life. And I have a bias. My life personally has been transformed in small groups. I don't think I ever would have made some of the hardest but most interesting choices in my life without the support of small groups I've been part of. I believe small groups are a place where we can connect on a level that is regularly not possible, and with all kinds of people, even those quite different from us, opening us up to worlds we would otherwise not have known. Which is why I have put a focus on building a small group program here at Westminster. One that encourages listening to yourself and listening to others. One that includes putting spiritual concepts into practice through monthly spiritual exercises and questions, because we grow best when we live our faith beyond simply thinking or talking about it. And so today's service is in part a window into connection groups and what might be possible for you there. But as noted, we each find our own path. And today's service is also about more than small groups. It is fundamentally about how we live our spiritual journey, about how looking at our journey through the lens of those three lifelines, listening or opening to self, to others, and to life's gifts. It's about how looking through those lenses might open up new insights and inspiration for you on your spiritual path. So today's service is divided into those three parts, one for each of the lifelines. And I've asked three people to share about each of those lifelines. And while the shares are about experiences in a connection group, the message of them also transcends the groups. Each share is a glimpse into how we humans deal with all that stands in our way, all that distracts us or pulls us away from what we most value, and how we head back to ourselves and each other, healing disconnection and coming back home. How can we hear our own precious voice in the midst of a raucous world? This is what the lifeline of listening or opening to the self is all about.
Good morning. I'm Claire. I usually come to the 9 o'clock service, so thank you for welcoming me here this morning. Yes. and I come to the 9 o'clock service because I do have three children who you would, I don't know if you've seen them, but they're important to the story here. So, okay. In all of our daily lives, we spend time listening and talking. Some of us talk a lot and share easily. Some listen really thoroughly and share just a little. In my life as a social worker turned full-time parent, much of my talking seems to be shouting commands, often into a void, and most of my listening requires me to act as some combination of advisor, counselor, and trial judge. So, as I sat in my first connection group meeting, I was struck by the covenant that I made: to listen deeply and silently, without reacting, or solving, or relating, or delivering a verdict. I affirmed that I would reflect over the course of each month and come to group to share my insights, my struggles, and my responses. All of this reflecting would take place in a room filled with only silence and stillness, and the open ears and hearts of my fellow congregants, many of them strangers, on the first night we met. I had signed up for this experience of speaking and being heard and held without the usual responses, the laughter, the "I agree," the "no way," that I'm used to. And this was big. As a person who values and sometimes longs for social connection in everyday life, I had come to rely on those little affirmations. Speaking from my heart into a room full of people who were filled with warmth and openness, but who were tasked with only listening, was a huge shift. And what did that shift do over a season's worth of third Thursday of the month meetings? It changed my entire course of thinking. Instead of searching for the words that would elicit laughter or agreement or accolades, I began to search for words that were simply true. I found words that weren't fancy, words that wouldn't fit perfectly on a greeting card, words that didn't summarize the breadth of the human experience. I guess I'd say that I speak every day, pretty much all day, in order to elicit a reaction, to argue persuasively, to convince someone to put on their clothes, to cajole someone to put on their clothes, to reprimand someone for taking off their clothes. I even speak sometimes to entertain. In short, I speak all day, every day for other people. And in this one quiet space, I began to speak for myself, my own voice echoing toward my own ears in the safety of like-minded listeners who would each in turn have their own minutes of brilliant stillness, and who would have me as their warm and receptive listener. The most wonderful thing about learning to be present to myself within this precious community group is that the journey doesn't have to end. As my third Thursday group concluded, and as I look forward to a new group in the fall, the spirit of seeking and connection, the wonderment of an invitation to be present with myself, as well as for others, continues to resonate through every sermon, every choir song, every RE class, every cup of coffee. And it deepens my connection to Unitarian Universalism, to my still new and yet already beloved Westminster community, and to myself. Thank you.
Being present to each other, widening our boundaries, begins with this lifeline of listening or opening to others. One of our key three mission words here at Westminster is service, being there for other people, living our faith outside of just ourselves. But in order to serve others, we need to remember that others actually exist. Okay, we know that. But how many times do we feel like we are on our own? I know I do. I get so busy or focused that I forget other people might be experiencing something similar or even very different from me right now. So here's one way of practicing opening to others, not just saying hello and being nice, but really listening. That's where service begins. Offering a kind of empathy where we realize we aren't all just separate, isolated beings living our separate, isolated lives. It's the starting point for true compassion and effective action. And a reminder that offering ourselves with kindness and warmth, doing that can warm us up too.
Is this on? Yes, it is. Good morning. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay. Yeah, thank you. I don't want to be the one responsible for breaking it. Thank you. My name is Kirsten, and I'll be sharing today about my experiences with the connection groups, specifically about opening to others. So this past year presented me with many challenges as I was struggling to juggle a number of competing life priorities. I was toiling to complete a very large research project on a tight deadline while adjusting to a challenging new job. I hadn't wanted to take on the new job until my study was complete, but concern over long-term finances pushed my hand. So there I was last September, burning the candle at both ends for the foreseeable future. I was exhausted and stressed, working during the day and then writing in the evenings and on weekends. Add to this mix that I had once again said yes to participating in the connection groups as a facilitator on Sundays, a day that I knew I really should have devoted entirely to writing. Why had I gone and done this crazy thing again? I asked myself over and over as I looked at my Google Calendar, which was now a jigsaw puzzle of colored boxes to mark competing time commitments. I was so worried that I wouldn't make my research deadlines that I even considered backing out of the connection groups. But I just couldn't break my commitment. I knew that. I would have to tough it out and find a way to make up the lost time. As you may imagine, I was not always in an ideal state of readiness to bask in the bliss of connection when Sunday afternoons rolled around. I was often tired and stressed from writing all day. When I got into my car, my mind was usually turning over and over some unfinished piece of what I had been writing, or a chunk of data that I was trying to make sense of. I would often be delayed in traffic and arrive at Westminster in the nick of time for the chalice lighting. Camilla's smiling. She's my co-facilitator last year. So anyway, you wouldn't think that, given how I arrived, I would derive much from the group experience. However, this consistently turned out to be absolutely not the case. In fact, the exact opposite was true. No matter how stressed or distracted I was when I arrived for the group, I somehow always quieted and turned deeply inward over the 90 minutes I spent with my fellow congregants and connectors. I was soothed and entranced listening to the experiences of others, becoming immersed in their stories, their struggles, and their epiphanies. The group's shared reflections on a monthly theme were always powerful reminders that, while we bring a multiplicity of interpretations to the discussion, we all express, over and over, the same primal need for understanding, connection, and belonging. Despite so many differences, we are all the same in this regard. Within that safe, common space, I found myself opening and sharing in a way that felt natural and often healing. My drive back home was always a very different experience than my drive in. I would sometimes find myself tearful, filled with gratitude for this monthly reminder of the unbreakable connection we all share. Now, I could never imagine giving up such a rich experience. Of course, it helps that my research is complete, and I have settled into the job. But of course, I know it is much more than that. The connection groups are truly a lifeline for me, a constant yet gentle reminder of our shared aspirations, longings, and simple awe at the workings of our universe. I find great peace in this. Thank you.
So our next lifeline, opening to life's gifts, is about leaning into gratitude for what is already here. It's about not allowing ourselves to get so caught up in the cultural games of striving, proving, and accumulating that we forget we've already arrived and we are already surrounded by countless blessings. Ultimately, opening to life's gifts is about waking up to life's gifts. And in order to do that, it's possible to use the practices and exercises of the month that help us remember that life is not a game and we are here, not here to conquer or win. That instead, it is more of a companion waiting for us to notice all that it has already offered to us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Julie Horwitz. I usually come to the morning, the first service as well, because I have kids as well. But those of you that do know me know that unless I'm teaching a class, I don't like to be in front of people. So for me to be up here doing this, when Ellen asked me to do this, I felt like I really wanted to talk about connection groups. I've been lucky to be part of two groups, both very different, both transformative. I'm grateful for the connection groups for so many reasons. It's given me a space to think, to be heard, to sit quietly, and to wonder. It's given me directions for reflection, and really good music to listen to along the way. It always comes with a Spotify list that's really good. Mm-hmm. During my 2 years of being a member of connection groups, I've also been placed in a really hard situation at work. I've spent the past 2 years being thrown into one of the hardest jobs I've ever had. It wasn't hard like when I was in Peace Corps. I had running water and electricity during this, but it was hard because the stakes were high and I was the one in charge. During my two-year run as interim co-dean of the School of Education at my college, I was tasked with a billion things. I had always thought I wanted to be dean eventually, and I was on a very specific track. I also want to be very clear, the story that I'm sharing with you, I know how privileged I was to have to make this kind of decision, but it was still really hard. I went through all the steps you're supposed to go through in higher education. I got my PhD, I got tenured at two different universities, I got a promotion, and the next logical step was to move into administration and be the one in charge. But this one wasn't that smooth. I was in the position I was supposed to be in, but I wasn't sure if I actually wanted it. Being in connection groups provided me a space to really dig into what I wanted to be when I grew up. What would happen if I didn't take the next step up the ladder? Having this space in connection groups was essential for my decision making. It was a space where it was okay to not know, a place to be heard, a place of no fixing, so I could play with what I was really thinking. I didn't have to know yet, and it was not the job of my connection group to know either. I challenged myself each month to answer the questions in the packet. So it wasn't just doing group every Monday night where I felt support and space. Each day, I would write about one of the questions in my journal. What I found was that I was all over the place at first. I was writing if I were two and sometimes three different people. Then I got the packet on trust. And I realized all of these people were trusting me to do a really hard job, but I wasn't trusting myself. That packet asked me, what would happen if you trusted life enough to let go? And what would happen if you trusted that you are right where you're meant to be? That seemed like a novel question. What if I could just stop thinking for a little while? So I did that. I just did my job for the next month. And then came the next month about journey. And the packet asked me if my path was about becoming who I really am or if it was about unbecoming. I felt freed to change my mind. Maybe I was unbecoming the old vision of me as climbing the ladder, and instead I could choose to be the faculty I wanted to be. I found that after I answered that question, I started writing about different parts of my life in my journal. I felt like I was able to talk about different parts of my life, and I clearly knew that I did not want to be dean. At least not right now, and that was okay. That right now I wanted to go back to my faculty world and my research world, and that didn't mean going backwards, but instead it meant making a choice. Those questions were my space to think without judgment, without being rushed, and without knowing the answer. There's one other activity that really was the final piece that gave me the strength to trust my decision. During the Curiosity Month, an activity encouraged the reader to get with a friend and pick some questions to answer about each other. I worked with another friend in church, and we each picked three questions we wanted the other person to answer about us. We then met and shared what we thought. It was overwhelming to hear her words about me. It gave me power and permission to decide that for right now, I was going to make my choice. Hearing what she thought about me allowed me to think of myself in a different way. It was also really fun to share just how amazing she was and share those ideas with her. So connection groups really gave me the space and tools to create my current identity, or at least this week. And so I encourage you all to try it out. And just like Kirsten said, it was really hard some Monday nights to go, and I never regretted it once. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. We open to ourselves. We open to each other. We open to all of life's gifts, including those that have been hidden by the pressures of our lives. And you are invited here today, but always really every day, to explore those three lifelines in whatever capacity you feel called. And you will find, starting in October, theme cards available on tables in Smith Hall with questions and exercises to support that journey based on the theme of the month. And if you choose, you can join together with a group of people who are also using those materials who can become companions on your spiritual trek in a connection group. A chance to practice being countercultural and to minister to each other. However you are called to walk your path, may we all remember we are more connected than we can usually tell, that we have each other in more ways than we can usually recognize, and that there just may be more good in life than we are able to see in any one moment. May we continue uncovering that goodness every day.